Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a really charming story. It's Gertie Goose.
Oh, yes, the manuscript by Gil Heaton with those lovely illustrations from Toby Negus.
Exactly. It first came out, I think, as an Amazon print on demand back in 2017. And you get it as an ebook, too. The Endless Bookcase published those.
That's right. And we're focusing on, well, a really key part of Gertie's story. Picture this. Autumn's rolling in. Mm-hmm. Gertie's just loving life on the lake. Seems perfect.
But it's not quite that simple, is it? Because her family, they're getting ready. Ready for the big migration south for the winter.
And Gertie, she is resistant, to say the least.
Yeah, totally resistant. So our mission today, for everyone listening, is to really unpack that. Why was she so defiant at first?
And then what clicks? You know, what makes her realize, and how does she actually start that journey?
Right. We want to pull out what this tells us about, well, things like independence, maybe community, and trusting that sort of inner voice.
Okay, so let's start where you mentioned Gertie's just in her happy place. The water, the sun. She's even admiring her brand new white feathers.
Yeah, she's feeling pretty good about herself. But while she's doing that, she's also, like, deliberately tuning out her family.
Who are getting pretty loud about it. They're calling, come, come with us.
Yeah.
It's not just a suggestion anymore.
No, it's getting serious. They're saying, we must go now before the chill of winter catches us and makes flight impossible. They even say,
we will die if we don't go now. I mean, that's stark life or death stuff.
Absolutely. But Gertie's logic, it's, well, it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically, sun's warm, therefore not winter. End of story for her.
Yeah, right. Which, you know, makes you think how easily we can focus on what feels good now.
Totally.
Yeah.
And ignore maybe the bigger picture, the wisdom someone else is offering.
And she asks for another day. Just one more day. That's such classic procrastination, right? Underestimating the situation.
Oh, definitely. Have you ever found yourself doing that? Just, you know, putting off the inevitable because the present is comfortable.
I think probably everyone has at some point. So this leads to a really tough moment for the family.
Yeah, the story mentions this heated argument. You can almost feel that tension. They love her, but they have to survive.
It's a survival decision?
Yeah.
They decide they have to leave without her.
And that final plea, gosh, we are going now, they plead one last time. Come with us. We love you.
Heartbreaking. But Gertie, still not moving, still in denial.
And her thoughts at that moment are quite revealing. It's, a bit self-centered, isn't it?
Very much so. She actually thinks, surely they wouldn't go without me. She assumes they'll just circle back.
Right. It kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? How often do we just assume people will stick around no matter what we do?
Mm-hmm. So she carries on, preening her feathers, ignoring their calls.
Yeah.
She even spies on them getting ready to leave.
Like it's some kind of show just for her. She seems convinced it's all a big act, a bluff.
It's almost painful to read. They fly around the lake twice, calling, come with us. And she just looks the other way.
Thinks it's a trick. Meanwhile, she's busy chasing worms, bothering the poor coots.
Yeah, feeling, as the book says, free and grown up, which is just packed with irony, considering what's about to happen.
It really is. That feeling of independence, sometimes maybe it tips over into just being isolated.
Exactly. And that feeling of freedom, it doesn't last long.
No. The shift happens when, well, when it gets quiet. Too quiet.
She looks up. Mm. Empty sky. And that's when it hits her, that growing feeling of alarm in her heart.
She tries to rationalize it at first, right? They wouldn't really leave me, but that thought just doesn't hold up.
No, the certainty just crumbles, and that illusion shatters. For anyone listening, maybe you can recall a moment like that, when reality just hits you.
Mm-hmm, and suddenly being alone isn't freeing anymore. It's just lonely, deeply lonely.
She starts longing for her mom, for those calls she was ignoring just minutes before.
The idea of spending the night alone becomes genuinely terrifying for her.
And compounding the problem is, well, she wasn't paying attention earlier.
Right. She tries to remember their plans, where they were going. But all she has is this vague idea of the South.
Because she thought their talks were boring. Tedious. Overly cautious.
And now, she looks up, desperate, doesn't even know which way South is. And there's no one left to ask.
It's such a clear consequence of tuning out stuff you think doesn't matter at the time.
Makes you think, are there things we tune out that might actually be important down the line?
Definitely. And you see the emotion building. Yeah. She feels a tear welling up, tries to fight it. That's a big shift.
Huge shift. And in desperation, she actually goes to the coots, the ones she was just chasing.
Yeah. And the reaction is, well, predictable. and harsh.
Understandably so. They basically say, you terrorize us and our kids, and now you want directions. Go away.
It serves you right. Ouch. But maybe. Kind of true.
Yeah, it's a tough lesson. Your past actions can really bite you back sometimes, can't they? Closed off that potential help.
So she walks, sadly, towards the spot where her family had gathered. The empty spot.
And it really sinks in, that realization, I should have listened more.
Yeah.
Paid attention to my elders.
And that false self-confidence she had is just gone.
Fading fast, leaving, as the book says, a very scared and lonely goose. That vulnerability after misplaced confidence, I think many of us know that feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's right there, in that moment of total vulnerability.
Yeah.
Sitting alone, asking silently, what do I do? How do I find them?
That's when something else happens. She realizes something fundamental.
What's that?
Her family. They're the most important thing in the world. That clarity often comes in a crisis, doesn't it?
It really does. And then the story shifts again toward something, well, almost mystical.
Yeah, this idea of inner guidance, out of that quiet desperation, this new feeling starts. She senses the air differently.
Like a knowing.
Exactly, a sense of direction. The writing describes it as a small voice calling to her. And this this physical sensation, like something tugging at her beak.
Wow. That's a really interesting way to put it. Like intuition made tangible. For you listening, have you ever felt something like that? A pull, a nudge you can't quite explain.
She's hesitant at first, though. Doesn't quite trust it. Maybe seems a bit weird.
Understandable. But it grows stronger, more insistent. The call gets clearer. Let go, it says, and come home.
Still, there's fear. Fear of the unknown, leaving the only place she knows.
But the world around her is also pushing her now. The sun's setting. It's getting colder.
The external reality aligns with the internal nudge. Staying is clearly dangerous now. She gets it.
So she makes a decision. With a heavy heart, the book says, but she decides to leave.
And I like the detail that she says a polite goodbye to the coots. Shows a change in her already. A bit of humility.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. And then, whoosh, she takes off. Powerful moment, leaving the lake behind.
Up in the air, she has to actively search for that feeling again, right? That tugging sensation.
Yeah, it's not just automatic. She has to concentrate, quiet her mind.
And then it comes back. That warm, familiar feeling. The guide.
And she lets out this joyful, whoo, turns towards it. The adventure really begins now, guided by this inner sense.
It makes you wonder, how often do we override those subtle feelings, get distracted?
All the time, probably. And what's fascinating is this sense she has.
Yeah.
This innate knowledge.
Yeah. What's that?
That others, her family, they've gone this way before. And that she'll catch up. She just knows it somehow.
Like this deep instinctual trust. Trusting that inner compass even when you can't see the whole path.
Exactly. And she flies off south with a truly confident beat of her beautiful wings. It's a great image to end this part of her journey.
It really is. Such a transformation from the goose we met at the beginning.
And, you know, for anyone interested in exploring Gertie's world a bit more, the book actually has a fun little quiz at the end.
Oh, yeah. Like, what kind of questions?
Well, just to give you a taste, it asks things like, what shape do geese make when they fly together? You know, the classic V shape.
Okay, makes sense.
Or what color are baby geese? What noise do geese make? Which way was her family actually flying?
Right, testing, if you remember the details.
Exactly. And of course, who did Gertie ask for help? Those less than helpful coots. It's just a neat way to revisit the story.
Cool. So wrapping up this deep dive into Gertie's beginnings, what are the big takeaways for listeners?
Well, I think it's really that journey, isn't it? From that stubborn independence, ignoring advice.
Yeah, through the really painful loneliness and regret.
To finally finding something else, yeah. Finding and trusting that inner sense, that intuition, to guide her back towards her community, her family.
Mm-hmm. It's quite profound, really, packaged in this simple story.
It is. And that leads us to our final thought, something for you all to maybe mull over.
Okay, what's that?
Think about times maybe you've dismissed advice, perhaps from people with more experience. Or maybe felt a bit too sure of yourself, like Gertie did initially.
Mm-hmm.
How could Gertie's whole experience maybe nudge you to be a bit more open to different views? Or perhaps more importantly, to pay closer attention to that quiet voice inside.
Yeah. What does your own inner voice even sound like? And are you actually listening?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Something to definitely keep thinking about.